take my reading this morning, this evening, from the reading that we did from Luke 17, chapter 20. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Their observation. The kingdom of God. What does it conjure up in our minds? For depending on who you are and your position with Christ, it will be different. The kingdom of God. God as king and ruler, with all his splendour and majesty and with all his authority. How can we imagine such a thing? What do we have in our own experience to even get a glimpse of what we're talking about? A royal coronation, maybe? I wasn't around for the last one. But surely that would show us a bit of the majesty, a bit of the splendour. A royal wedding? Maybe. What do we expect? The kingdom of God. These Pharisees, they were seeking such a ruler. A ruler that would be biased towards the Jews. A ruler that would establish a true Jewish state. A ruler would take control and remove the Roman yoke. Indeed, throw the Romans out of its borders. Establishing a self-rule. Establishing a powerful nation. Who other peoples would revere and look up to. That they would be afraid of. There would be a peace. A prosperity. For the whole Jewish nation. This is what the Pharisees and most of the Jews saw. As the kingdom of God. They would have a king. They would be safe. They would be prosperous. This king would be in the line of David. The kingdom of God. Most religions have a similar hope built into their faiths. Where their God rights their wrongs. And they live in a prosperous and peaceful time. Even those without a faith. Those humanists. Seek a peace for this world. Not through God. But through man's achievements. Man's elevation, man's intelligence, man's wisdoms. It seems every grouping wants a sign of what's to come. We are used to advertisements and announcements for major events. We just had the Commonwealth Games. Such was the countdown to that. They thought it was going to be a disaster at times. But we had a countdown. We have a countdown to the Olympic Games. 2012. And we used the countdown for Christmas. Which starts so early on. That Christmas loses its true message. Yet. What sign does Jesus give? Of the kingdom of God. You will not see it coming. That's what he's saying to them. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. They will not see the kingdom of God coming. And it is true. Very few people were aware of Jesus entering the world. Think, how many people knew about Jesus coming into the world? Mary and Joseph? Elizabeth, the cousin? The The wise men, they knew something was about to happen, but not sure where, as they followed that star. The shepherds were told on that night. Very few knew of our Saviour's arrival into our world. Yet God held promises with a few. Simeon and Anna. As the Lord was presented in the temple, they recognised his arrival. Who is going to recognise the arrival of our Lord again? The Pharisees had been watching. The whole Jewish nation were waiting. There was an expectation. But they missed his arrival. They had waited for 400 years. Since the last prophet. And even when a prophet came in their midst, they failed to recognize him. John the Baptist heralded the way for Jesus. But did they listen? Did they want to see? And now they ask for a sign. But they could not see. The kingdom of God is hidden. Hidden from them. But Jesus, doesn't he say in Luke chapter 8 verse 10? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. He told them all the parables, and yet the unbelievers could not hear, could not see. And even the disciples at times had trouble in understanding what Jesus was talking about. Seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Only for believers to understand. The kingdom of God is still hidden from unbelievers. And it gets us down sometimes. It depresses us. Why? We preach the words of God, but it falls on deaf ears. We evangelize but fail to see results. The word of God is a mystery to most. But they say, prove your God exists. But we don't hear anything out of your Bible. We don't hear anything out of your scriptures. Discuss your point of view, but don't use your scriptures. I've had these discussions with people, and many people have. They want to know on their terms. They don't understand. Yet all we have is the word of God. That's all we have to show them. To prove to them. We can show them God's creation. But then we have the word of God. Say, look, God is telling us about his creation. God is telling us about how we came to be here. Why we're here. But they don't want to listen. They ask for the signs, but they don't want to see. The only way for someone to understand the scriptures is for God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal it. Isn't that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. We cannot see things unless the Spirit reveals it. And reveals the deep things as well. And he goes on to say in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see? The Holy Spirit opens the scriptures to us so that we understand. We are told to preach the words of God. But unless the Spirit moves in their lives, in their hearts, they won't hear our words. We can evangelize. But unless the Spirit of God moves, we will not see the results. And yet we're told to continue. The kingdom of God is hidden. Yet mankind has this inner sense of what it's about. For they would acknowledge some sort of Armageddon, some sort of terrible catastrophe that will befall mankind. They're ready to accept that. It's always there somewhere in their lives. And it brought out in the films that they produce, that are made for entertainment. The disasters. And there's always a disaster movie on the horizon. 2012 was one of the disaster movies where the Mayan calendar ends. They seek their advice in other religions. Plagues in some films refer to Revelation and the pale horse, with the plague coming on man and how man survives. Another of the flooded world. See, they won't believe in the flood of Noah, but they will believe in a future flood that will wipe out the world. Such is their fiction. They believe sometimes that the world may be frozen. Another ice age. Mankind takes part of the scripture. Takes Revelation especially. And it fictionizes it, but it ignores the full truth. That of the Christ's crucifixion. That God died for them. Is it not curious that the world asks about the kingdom of God, how it will be established here on earth, and yet at the same time expects some cataclysm? Man knows that he is sinful. He has no excuse. Deep down, he knows that there is a price to pay, and he is expecting to pay it. But he doesn't really understand the cost. The world wants to know when the kingdom of God will arrive, but at the same time it dreads that arrival. And yet it will not turn back to God. But the kingdom of God is revealed to us. For Jesus first speaks to the Pharisees, and then he turns to the disciples. The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. He speaks to the disciples. He deals with the Pharisees. Tells them they will not see it. They will not observe it. And reveals the truth to the believers, to us. We know the kingdom of God, for it is with us. For all who believe in Jesus are part of that kingdom. And we rejoice in it. We accept that Jesus came and showed us the way. We can look back at his first visit, which ended with humiliation on that cross, that death on the cross for us, but also a victory over death and sin for us. We can look back and see his sacrifice for us. Unbelievers cannot do that. For they do not recognize him as their saviour. We look forward though to his second coming, when he will come in his glory, his majesty, his authority. But like the first, people will not realize it. Jesus compares two events: Noah's flood. Noah preached to the people, but they would not listen, and they were destroyed. Likewise, when Lot was saved from Sodom, Sodom was destroyed. The world is right to fear Jesus' return, for they will be judged. But Jesus comes with absolute authority. Something we're not used to nowadays. Everybody questions everything else. There are no absolutes for people. Everybody has an opinion, and their opinion is right. No one is absolutely right, they say. God cannot be absolutely right. He can't tell me what to do. When Jesus returns, no one will be allowed to deny him. He is the culmination of all God's plans. He's the completion of all God's plans. As we look back to Noah and to Lot, we see God's plans of each phase reaching a completion. In Noah's day, people were continuing in their own ways. They thought, this will go on and go on forever, and we'll live like this. We'll ignore God. They were following their own ways, regardless of what God was doing, not realizing their time was coming to an end. In Sodom, they too were proceeding as they had done, ignoring God and his warnings. The end was sudden. Okay, we've got that short verse there in verse 32. Remember Lot's wife, short and terse, said with urgency. They should not be meandering and wistfully thinking about their lives. They should have been thinking about God and what he thought about them and how he reacted to them. Christ's return will be sudden, just as Noah's flood was sudden. Yet Noah had time to prepare. He gathered the animals. He built the ark timber by timber. Isn't that what God does for us? He gathers his flock and builds his church brick by brick. Who took notice of Noah? Who turned to him for advice? Who turned to him for instruction? Who turned to him for guidance? No one. For they did not see the urgency. We do see the urgency. Do we? Sometimes I think we don't. The Pharisees were leaders in Jewish society. They were leaders amongst God's people. But they lacked the motive, they lacked the imagination, they lacked the wisdom to see the movement of God. We too have leaders of God's people who lack urgency, who lack understanding, who lack imagination, who lack direction. Lethargy permeates through the church in this country and so many others. They seem to ignore the scriptures. They seem to talk about their own lives rather than God's word. There is a more and more acceptance of worldly views that negate a biblical view. Scriptures are dismissed and relegated to mythology. I've heard it myself. Preachers preaching the word of God saying, Esther is like Cinderella, Abraham. Oh, there are many stories about Abraham. They mention the Jews, and it's many journeys of many different Abrahams, all led together and put into one man. They negate scripture, and they lead the people astray. They are no longer watchful. As Noah prepared that ark, I'm sure he looked up to see the clouds gathering. We can see the clouds gathering. The world isn't watchful. For their end times, they are relegated to fictions, such as in the films and the TV shows. But Christ is coming back to establish his kingdom. The signs are there for all to see. Who would ever believe that Jews could have returned to Israel? 200 years ago, who would have thought it? 300 years ago, 400 years, who would have thought that it could come about? But now we live with it. Man is nearer to the brink of annihilation than he's ever been. But do we turn back to God, or do we just blame him and ignore him? There are wars and rumours of wars. They're reported daily, just as the scripture says. They are signs, but people don't want to see them. Our seas and our rivers are polluted. Doesn't our scripture tell us that will be so? Our forests are torn down and burnt. Doesn't scriptures tell us that as well? Many animals are facing extinction. I was just reading today. You know, there's hunters that in Canada, they pay a lot of money for permission to go and hunt rams with big horns. They can pay up to millions for their permit to go and find these rams with these big horns. They're a collector's item. You know, they can't find them. They're all dead. They've killed them all. All they find is rams with little horns. The animals are facing extinction. It's the same with the cod around our shores. We put a limit on what they can actually catch, but the size of the cod has gone down. They're no longer big cod to catch, so there is less to actually eat. We're wiping the animals from the face of the earth, and yet people still don't see the point, the sign. People do not see that they should turn back to God as we devastate this planet. Christ is coming back to establish his kingdom. We ignore sign after sign. But as we as Christians, are we prepared? Are we building our lives along God's guidelines? Doesn't it say here, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it? Don't we give up our life to the Lord? Don't we follow him rather than our selfish ways? It's Christ alone who can save us. One person will be taken and one person will be left. I want to be that one that's taken by the Lord. I don't want to be that one that's left. I can see the signs, but how many can't? How many who profess to be Christians cannot see the signs? Let us live our lives with the watchfulness and urgency that God's word requires. Let us watch, for Christ will return and establish his kingdom. Amen.